Thank you very much, ladies. Let's go over to Luke chapter 17 this morning. We're in the Gospel of Luke. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, that is the third book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and then the Gospel of Luke. Find chapter 17. We're going to read verses 11 through 19 for our text today. And we'll read responsively, meaning if you please join me on the even-numbered verses, beginning with verse 12 and down through verse 18. Reading together in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now, before we stand and read, let me ask you to do us a favor. Turn your cell phone off. Make sure it's off. And I've been in more services recently that have been interrupted by the ringing of a cell phone. It's just really unnecessary, okay? So make sure it's turned off. And this is the most important thing going on in your life right now. And we have a daughter who's at the hospital up here, going to have the baby. She's been there since 3 o'clock this morning. And I'm going to confess to you that I broke the rules and took my phone to Sunday school. And I had it in my pocket during Sunday school, but I left it in the office during church. All right, then bring it in here. The baby will be there with or without me finding out, okay? So we're anxious, of course, and can't wait, but we'll find out hopefully after church if a baby has arrived. So turn your cell phone off. Let's give God some time in our hearts this morning. Amen? Let's stand together. Let's stand together in honor of God's good book. I'll begin reading on verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we need you this morning. Would you please come and grace us with your presence? Give us that liberty that only the Holy Spirit can bring to a service. I pray, O Lord, that you'll help us to be able to concentrate on your word this morning, that the Spirit of God might have access to our hearts, our minds, that we'd come with open face, without a veil, this morning to the Scripture. Speak to us in a very special way. Bless the song we're about to hear. May it prepare our hearts for the preaching from your word. We'll thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Stripes he bore When the blood ran crimson red, love went deeper than the hole they dug when they dropped that old cross in place. Love went deeper than the depths of hell, deep enough to take my place. Love went deeper than the depths of hell, deep enough to take my place.
Thank you, Brother Tony. Good song this morning. I appreciate that. I'm excited about my title this morning. I don't know how excited I am about the sermon, but I'm excited about the title. Amen. You know, I've come to church sometimes and had a sermon without a title. And the worst thing is to have a title and no sermon. But I'm a little bit excited about my title this morning. I want to preach to you on the lone stranger. If I was the pastor of an emergent church, we'd have right now we'd have a video screen with the lone ranger, you know, riding across the prairie in search of the villains. But we're not that way, so you have to put up with me just ad-libbing, all right? So, but I want to speak to you on the lone stranger. Look at verse number 18. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. So it's a biblical title, isn't it? There was only one, and Jesus called him a stranger. So he is the lone stranger, all right? Let's pray together. We'll get into the message. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Very simply, speak to our hearts today. We'll thank you for it. It's been a season of remembering how blessed we are. And I'm glad for this season of the year. May we extend it all throughout the other 11 months, the other 51 weeks. May we not limit it to only this week of the year. Help me, I pray, to be a blessing to your people who've come this morning for this hour. I ask it in Christ's name and amen. Thank you, or thanks, has a profound effect on people when you say it from a sincere heart. The truth is, appreciation is so scarce these days that it is really noticeable when someone takes the time to express gratefulness. The scarcity of a thankful spirit and a thankful attitude is what made me consider this text, this story, I believe, for the message this morning. And it's rather a simple story. Jesus, verse number 11, Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem, and the Bible tells us he passes through Samaria and Galilee in order to get there. Verse number 12 tells us that as he entered the outskirts of a certain village on his journey, 10 men diseased with leprosy got his attention. They were standing way far off, as the law dictated, apart from their families, apart from society, apart from the business and commerce of the village. But when they saw Jesus, they lifted up their voices collectively. And in verse 13, you'll see where they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, I'm going somewhere in just a minute, but let me stop and say this. Knowingly or not, mercy is all they really could ask for from Jesus Christ. That's really all they could ask for. You see, by definition, mercy is not giving us what we deserve. Now, they deserved to be ignored. They had leprosy. They deserved to be left alone. They had leprosy. They deserved to be isolated. They deserved to be separated. They had leprosy. And leprosy was a horrible disease that was highly contagious. It engulfed the body. We don't have a lot of cases of leprosy in the United States of America any longer, although the flesh-eating disease, it's very similar in that way. It engulfs the body with oozing sores. It eats away the flesh and ultimately the life of a person. It's a very painful and slow way to die. Lepers would lose their extremities. They would lose their fingers and their toes and their noses and their ears. I had the opportunity with Brother Rick Martin in Iloilo City in the Philippines to visit a leper colony and actually see a fenced-in area of houses where lepers lived. And some were missing fingers, and some were missing ears, and some were missing noses, and sometimes they lost an entire limb to the disease of leprosy. And because it was so contagious, they were banned to leper colonies, where they worked and they ate and they slept and they lived apart from the healthy people. So they deserve, as lepers, now hear me, as lepers, they deserved nothing. But they asked for mercy. Don't give us what we deserve. Notice us. Help us. Heal us. Now, I'm not preaching on salvation this morning, but I want to stop for a moment to say that's a beautiful picture of what happens to every one of us when we get saved. Because leprosy is a type of sin. As sinners, we deserve hell. As sinners, we deserve isolation from God. As sinners, we deserve separation from God, not for a brief time period, but for eternity. That's what we deserve. And you know what salvation is, friends? Salvation is the gift of God's mercy. Salvation is, mercy is taking away what we do deserve and giving us what we don't deserve. I don't deserve heaven, and you don't deserve heaven. I can't earn heaven, and you can't earn heaven. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've never, in your heart, maybe physically, but if not physically, if never in your heart you have fallen on your face and asked God for mercy to save your soul, you are missing the most blessed and the most important aspect of life. Without it, you'll be separated from God forever. Okay? So we're not preaching about salvation this morning, but it's a beautiful picture here. They said the right thing. Jesus, have mercy on us. Remember the story where the publican, he boasted of how good he was, and the sinner came, bowed his head and said, God, be merciful to me. That's the right thing to ask for when you need to get saved. You ask for mercy. Now, Jesus responded in verse number 14 to their plea, and He said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, stop for a moment. For a leper to hear, go show yourself to the priest, that was an incredible blessing. You see, when someone was thought to have leprosy, they were quarantined until it was confirmed that they had it or not. They might break out with a sore on their skin or just an infection or some red place, and somebody would say, man, is that leprosy? And we don't know if it's leprosy or not. We don't know. We've got to quarantine you until it's proven that it's either leprosy or it's not. And if it's not leprosy, if it's not proven that they have leprosy, then the person who was supposed to have leprosy had to go to the priest, and he had to receive a pronunciation of cleansing from the priest before he could return to normal life. So before the person who was thought to have leprosy could go back to his family, before he could go back to his work, before he could go back to involving himself with other people, he had to be pronounced cleansed by the priest. And so for them to hear this, they were stunned. Because, wait a minute now, they were not in quarantine to see if they had leprosy. They're already isolated because of leprosy. And so for them to hear, go show yourself to the priest, it must have had a stunning impact on them. It was unbelievable. They couldn't believe the words. And in verse number 14, I believe it is, as it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. This is an amazing thing that happened here. After Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, they took off, and the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. Not before, not after, but as they went. Can you imagine, friend, how quickly, maybe they started off in kind of a fast trot, or a fast walk to see the priest, and all of a sudden they felt some kind of something going on in their bodies and looked on their hands and their arms and possibly their legs and their feet, and the leprosy that had just infected them moments before was now all gone and cleansed. Can you imagine, friend, how quickly they ran? All that stood between them and returning to a normal lifestyle was having the priest say, you're clean. That's all that stood between them. And so they ran, and they ran happily, and they ran excitedly. And along the way, verse number 15, look at it, and one of them when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. One leper turned back. He stopped in his tracks. He looked back at the figure that just a few moments ago had said, go show yourself unto the priest. He looked at himself again. He looked at that man standing over there. And he went to Jesus. And the Bible says he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus and with a loud voice glorified God. And the Bible takes pains to tell us that he was a Samaritan. You know what that probably means, friend? That probably means that the other nine were what? Jews. So he was the despised one. He was the dog, if you will. He was the despicable one of the group, even more so than the Jews that had leprosy. They were the most hated people, discriminated against, the Samaritans. And yet it was the Samaritan who returned. That's why Jesus called him in verse number 18, the stranger. He was not a Jew. He was the lone stranger, the one Samaritan. Had returned to give thanks to Jesus. Now, Jesus knew how many there were because he says in verse number 17, he asked a couple of questions. He says, were there not 10 cleansed? Weren't there 10 in that group? Of course, Jesus knew that. But where are the 9? It's, I think, implied by Jesus that he kind of expected thank you from all 10 of them. You kind of get that out of that? There, I know there were 10 cleansed and only one came back. What happened to the other 9? Aren't they coming back to say thank you? And then he said in verse number 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger, this Samaritan. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So that's the story. And by the way, you know what's interesting to me? The Bible is such a wonderful book. It's interesting to me that the only gospel writer who records this story is Dr. Luke. Not found in Matthew, Mark, or John, but it's found in the gospel, penned by Dr. Luke. So what can we learn this morning from this lone stranger who returned to give Jesus thanks? Well, first of all, thanks. First of all, I'll say this very simply this morning. Being thankful is scarce. Being thankful is scarce. I've already alluded to that. Look at verse 17 and 18 again. In fact, I won't take the time, for sake of time, to reread these verses. There were 10 cleansed and only one returned to give a thank you to Jesus. 1 out of 10, 10%. That means 90% of those men went on their way as if their cleansing were their own doing. And one of them stopped and said, whoa, wait a minute. Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. Yeah. And isn't it compelling that the one who returned to give thanks was the man who was the furthest away from the promises of God as far as Jews go? He was the Samaritan. The other 9 Jews to whom Jesus came. I mean, the fact that Jesus was there. Ken, Jesus was born of a Jewish mother. He was reared by a Jewish stepdad, guardian, if you will. He was brought up in the Jewish culture. He went to the Jewish synagogues. Those other men, those 9 men were his countrymen. They should have known far more about Jesus than the Samaritan did. Now here's my lesson. Listen very carefully. Thankfulness is scarce. And usually it's because we are too close to the blessing. We're too close to it. Real appreciation for food is scarce from the ones whose cupboards are full. Real appreciation for health is scarce from the ones who are healthy. Real appreciation for a job is scarce from the one who has never been on the unemployment list. Real appreciation for children is scarce from those who never had trouble having them. Real appreciation for hearing is scarce from those who can hear. Real appreciation for sight is scarce from those who can see. Real appreciation for Christian upbringing is scarce from those who were brought up in a Christian home. Some of the most thankful people in this room ought to be the ones who were brought up in the Christian home. Real appreciation for a Bible is scarce from those who have 5 or 6. Real appreciation for a good church is scarce for those who've always been in one. Real appreciation for a loved one is scarce from those who have never buried one in a cemetery. Real appreciation for a good spouse is scarce from those who have one. And real appreciation for liberty and freedom is scarce from those who have it. Do you get the idea of what I'm saying this morning? The ones who should have been the most thankful were the nine who were Jews. This Jesus was born to our people. He came to us. He's a Jew. And they should have had the most thanksgiving, but because they were so close to the blessing, they had the least. And I will tell you, if there's a group of people collectively anywhere in the world that ought to be the most happy, thankful people, it is American Christians. Don't be so close to the blessing that you can't see it. Amen? Don't be so close to the blessing that you can't see it. My goodness, friend, it makes the least sense. Those of us who are blessed with some or all of the things that I just mentioned ought to be the most thankful. Being thankful is scarce. Number two, I want to say this morning. Being thankful is simple. Look at verse number 15. Let me show you how simple Thanksgiving is. And one of them, when he saw, he noticed. He noticed. How simple is that? He noticed. You say, well, I'm sure the others noticed too because they kept going on to the priest to show themselves. Yeah, but his noticing was different. It was different in the fact that he noticed he was better because of someone else. Friend, thankfulness is sparked in our hearts when we simply notice that someone else has been good. Someone else has shown concern. Someone else has gone out of their way to be a blessing to us. Thankfulness is simple, and it's sparked in our hearts when we just simply take time to notice. I'm sure I've failed. I've not been completely successful, but I have tried to say a personal thank you to everyone who sent my wife and I and our family a sympathy card when my brother died. Because you know what? I was grateful. It blessed me. And the text messages and so forth. And Eric and Elizabeth were down to see Mary Gardner last Saturday when she was in the hospital. I went by to see Mary there. When I walked in, I was glad to see Eric and Elizabeth living up north now. Because Eric and Elizabeth sent us a sympathy card when Tom passed away. And it meant so much to us that a young couple living away from here now would take the time to, you know, folks, cards don't grow on trees. Cards don't drop out of heaven into your shopping cart or into your house on the kitchen table. It takes time, it takes thought, it takes money, it takes effort to go get a card and send it somebody. And I want to notice the fact that somebody noticed. Notice the fact that somebody noticed. You know, I was thinking about this. It's hard to notice what has been done for you if you are the center of your world. It's hard. A different subject altogether, but I think about the day that Jesus was traveling in a group of people. Now watch this. Multitudes of people pressing on Him. He was the very center of all the attention. But He was not the center of His attention. Because one diseased woman with an issue of blood who had spent all of her living going to all of these physicians trying to find the cure and could find none. One little woman, frail, sick, and weak, by faith reached out and just touched the hem. The hem of His garment. That's all she did. She didn't grab His shoulder. She didn't grab His arm. All she touched was the hem of His garment. And He stops. And notices. Who touched me? The disciples said, Lord, what do you mean who touched you? Look at the crowd. They're all thronging around. You're at the center of all their, you're the very center of all the attention here. But Jesus was never the center of His own world. And it is very difficult to notice when people do things for us if we are the center of our own world. She touched him in faith. I'm just simply saying this morning that selfishness keeps us from noticing what others have done for us. Now, I'm not talking just about people. I'm talking about sometimes selfishness keeps us from noticing what God has done for us. What has God done for you lately? What has somebody done for you recently? How has someone shown special love, special concern, and have you not noticed it? Have you not noticed it? It's hard sometimes, you know, when you're a pastor of a church with loving people like we have here at Faith Baptist Church. And some of you parents have taught your children to be so loving and they do little bitty things. And you know, I fail. I'm not successful 100% of the time. But I make an attempt to never let some little act of kindness done by some small child pass without, if not a written letter. Without stopping them somewhere and shaking their hand and saying, "No, thank you for what you did. Thank you for your card. Thank you for that little thing. Thank you." It's just, look, folks, being thankful is not some humongous thing that you've got to spend millions and thousands of dollars and tons of hours on. It's simply just noticing. Just noticing. When somebody goes, my wife and I have had the best time with this. Sammy, I don't know how, if you and Will got that little you got it on the picture thing. Cindy, at this couples retreat we went to back in October. Okay, so Mrs. Woodward, she came up with this idea. She got a little picture frame. Has a glass, you know, glass frame front of it. And the it's not a picture. It's just a sheet of paper with "thank you" written all over it in different fonts. And some of them are bold. And some of, Brother Joe, are the fans running? They're not running. No wonder I'm sweating. Whew, man. I heard complaints that it was hot in here last week. Do y'all want the fans on? Not the air conditioning, but do you want some air? Sure. Yes. No. Let's get the air on, please. Just the fan running, please. Okay. It's not that cold outside today. So, man, it just seems close. Mercy. She gets this piece of paper, and it says, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." It has all these thank yous on it, different fonts and everything. And everybody, every couple got one at the couples retreat, and it came with a dry erase marker. And you take that thing, you put it in some place in your house, and you write on it. You know, it says, "Thank you," so you write on there for whatever. And then my wife writes a little message. I think her message is on there right now. Thank you for exactly what it says. I'm not sure. I can't remember. It made a big impact on me. No, I know what it says. For taking care of the mice. We had mice. Yes, mice. And the women don't like mice. I'm okay with mice. They got to live too, you know. But anyway, so... The grandson's really got a kick out of the mice. But anyway, I'm probably embarrassing her right now. I need to shut up. But anyway, she said, "Thank you for taking care of the mice. We got the mice taken care of." And so I read it. Then I take a piece of paper and I erase the words that are on there. Then I take the dry erase marker and I write on there something that she's done lately that I'm thankful for. And you got it this morning from Will. You guys going back and forth with that thing. It's been the biggest blessing in our home. It's just another opportunity for a husband and wife to notice. The small things that we do for each other that really you might overlook if there wasn't some little reminder there just to say thank you. Thank you is simple. Just noticing. Just noticing. So being thankful is scarce. Being thankful is simple, and I want to finish this morning with this point right here. Being thankful is smart. Look at verse 16. "And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan." Verse number 19. "And he," Jesus, "said unto him," the Samaritan, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." So this man returns to give thanks, and his thankfulness results in him receiving commendation of his faith. From his faith, from Jesus. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not quite sure what verse number 19 meant to this man. Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I'm not quite sure. Is it talking about salvation? Does it mean that he didn't have to go see the priest? Does it mean that he got a more perfect cleansing? Was it possible to be cleansed from leprosy and yet still have scars, kind of like chicken pox? You ever had chicken pox? Sometimes people get scarred from chicken pox. So was it possible that maybe there was a way to get healed from leprosy and there were scars that showed you had it? And when Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole, he didn't have any scars. Did this man receive such a cleansing that he was made whole of every physical ailment? I don't know. Maybe you have some light on that I don't have. Because didn't the other guys get cleansed? They got cleansed too. So I've scratched my head for days now and really prayed and asked the Lord to give me some light. Pete and I were talking about this early one morning downstairs, talking about this passage and this verse. And I told him I was stuck on point number 3 because, boy, I wanted to find something in verse number 19 that, you know, made this a real impactful point. But here's the thing, friend. They were all cleansed. And only one returned to give thanks. That's the bottom line. And the other 9 went on their way. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in his group. I want to be in his group. I want to be with the majority. I don't want to overlook the obvious here. At least this man heard that he was clean. From the mouth of Jesus himself. The other 9 got it from the priest. Let me ask you a question this morning. Which group do you want to be in? Which group do you want to be in? Thanksgiving is, being thankful is scarce. Being thankful is simple. Being thankful is smart. Because I'm going to tell you something. I have 6 kids. And I love to do for all of my children. And I love to do for all the spouses that have married, that my children have married. One at a time. I love to. But if I've got one who is continually coming back with, thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad. I am human. And I don't ever want to show partiality. But if I got a kid who's all the time sincerely saying, Dad, thanks. I appreciate it. Dad, thank you. I might, in my humanity, look a little favorably on that person. Amen. I think being thankful is just smart. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Gabriel, you see that child down there? You know, I do for him, I do for her what I do for many others, but she constantly is saying thank you. Constantly saying thank you. D.L. Moody was a simple preacher. You ever read any of his messages, you'd know that. He was reading in a message one time on Psalms 103. He was going to read several verses in the passage and then preach a message. And he read this verse out of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. D.L. Moody didn't have a proper education. And he stopped. And only the way that D.L. Moody could. And he said this. Well, you can't remember all of them. But don't forget them all either. You can't remember all of them. But don't forget them all either. Being thankful is scarce. Being thankful is simple.
Being thankful is smart. Not just for this season of the year, but for all of our lives.